Hello, this is Tom Heck with TeachMeTeamwork.com, and on the line with me today is Jay Kipps, who is the Marketing Director and Business Development Advisor for the Self-Management Group. Self-Management Group is the largest training and psychometric assessment company serving financial institutions across North America. And Jay and I met through the Adventure Learning Experiential Education community, and Jay's got a background in training and team development, and we've been following each other's work, and lo and behold, Jay and I have reconnected through this idea of helping individuals build teams through the use of assessments. And Jay, I'd like to welcome you to the call.
It's great to be on the phone with you today, Tom.
Well, so here we have an opportunity for our listeners to understand how to use assessments. First, I'd like to get you to talk about assessments in general. Why someone would want to use an assessment in the process of either starting from scratch, building a team, or, for example, they've got an existing team. They've got they're not going to hire any more people necessarily right now, but they want to figure out how to get more out of the group of people they're working with, because I get emails all the time from people, phone calls saying, okay, I'm about to go into this process of building a high-performing team. What do I do? And so as you and I work closer together, we're going to be helping organizations and people use an assessment as part of the process of building a high-performing team. So maybe let's start with just that. What is an assessment, a test, all of the profiles? Are all those terms the same thing?
Well, there's definitely a difference between a trait test and a psychometric assessment, psychometric self-assessment or profile, which is what we're talking about today. A trait test, if your people who are listening to this out there, if they're using tests, then they're good to be testing. They're good to be evaluating, and smart to do so. And the question that I often ask people is, how successful is the test you're using at predicting performance?
Okay, and that's what it really comes down to for you, is it's a predictive tool.
That's right, because a test will look at, they're great to evaluate behaviors under certain circumstances. If you find yourself in these circumstances, will you react this way or that way?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a useful tool to get to know one another, and it's relative to that situation. If situations were always the same, then that test could be applied to a variety of different circumstances. But as you and I both know, everything changes. So when we use a test, it's relative to a certain set of behaviors, whereas a psychometric assessment will look at core character traits. It will look at, when push comes to shove, at your core, how will you likely show up? And when the tests that we use, because they're mathematically based, because they ask somebody to evaluate how they would self-evaluate how they would respond, and how they look at themselves and how they feel other people look at them under a variety of different roles, and we take a norm of those responses, what we can do is we can go in and we can benchmark top performers, we can benchmark lower performers within any given organization, and we can make predictions because they're mathematically based assessments. We can take a norm of the responses and we can make predictions about how somebody will show up and how likely they are to perform above the norm.
Okay, so this would be huge. If I can predict how an individual is going to perform under a given situation, that seems like it would be a huge advantage when hiring somebody or building a team, because I guess the question then becomes is, what is it that I want to predict? What characteristics? So I think that you shared with me a great story about maybe it was a series of banks in different locations, and one was doing really well, or several were doing really well, and others were not?
Yeah, we're big in banks, Tom. We're big in the financial industry. We're in every bank in Canada. We're in almost every life insurance company in North America, and we cut our teeth working with sales teams. We've profiled over 3 million people.
Mm-hmm.
We score about 10,000 assessments a day.
10,000 assessments a day, and to score 10,000 assessments a day, just to give our listeners an idea of how you do that. This is around the world, and done over the internet.
That's right. It's in 22 different languages, and because we've profiled so many different industries and so many different top performing groups of people, top performing teams, and top performing individuals within those industries, we can go in and make predictions about, in terms of core character traits, whether or not somebody is most likely to perform under a given role. So we've developed profiles for a variety of different work circumstances. We've got a profile for IT people. We've got a profile for call centers. We've got a profile for people in sales roles, administrative roles, athletes. We have about 18 different assessments that look at core character traits relative to a given job situation, because whether or not you're strong or weak, whether or not you get a high number or a low number on a given scale, isn't necessarily a bad or good thing. It's just relative to the job role or the circumstances that you're being asked to fit within.
So let's take a look at this one, these banks that you worked with. They were all part of one company, and some of them were doing well, some of them were not doing so well, and they wanted to know why. Why they contacted you?
I think we were talking, Tom, about it. It was a marketing company.
Okay.
Marketed technology, but we've done just as much work on the bank side too, so it could be almost any industry. But in the circumstances you're referring to, we were working with an organization that had four different teams, all of about the same size, selling similar services to similar markets. There was one team in Indiana, one in Kentucky, one in Ohio, and one in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
We went in and we profiled the entire organization, and the office in Michigan was doing really poorly. The office in Indiana was doing exceptionally well. So we profiled everybody, and then what we did was we went in and we profiled those different groups, and we arrived at a measurement, a profile, for what the group looked like as a whole that was very successful compared to the groups that weren't very successful. And what we could do is go in and focus on coaching techniques relative to the outcomes in the profile. Because the profile also provides questions for interviews relative to how people show up on the different scales. It provides questions for probing into people, asking people about past experience. It provides suggestions for mentoring to peers and staff and to managers. And it helps the individual to become more consciously competent, more aware of what they're really good at so that they can do more of it, and help them be aware of what they need from their manager in order to be successful.
Well, I think that an important understanding here is that when in this particular group that you're talking about is when you gave the assessments, it wasn't a tool to go in and say, now we know who to fire.
No, definitely not. No, it shouldn't be used as a deselection tool. It's not the purpose of it. And it's frankly, it's not a good investment if that's what somebody's doing. If you are going in to profile somebody in order to create an exit strategy for them, well, chances are you already know that it's time for you and that individual to part ways.
Mm.
And it's not the time to start investing more and backing up your case. It's probably a time for some deep questions and some real conversations. This is more for helping people to grow. It's more about helping people become consciously competent, aware of what they're good at, and helping the coach or the manager to partner with their people and help to coach them rather than coax them. Help to coach them on where they're really strong and be a real resource to the individual to help them do more of what they're good at.
So what typically happens when you work with an organization on these assessments? Is this something that is the whole process be done in a week, or is it a year, or what's required when you start to head down this path to use assessments like you're suggesting?
Well, the profiles themselves are available online. They take about 30 minutes to complete, and it's a relatively painless experience. People go online, they complete it. A lot of our clients set it up on their website. A lot of the distributors and trainers that we have out there, we allow our services to be white labeled under their label to help them serve their clients more effectively. It depends on how quickly their clients respond. So it's a matter of 30 minutes to complete each one. We have a whole room full of servers here, and it's all very secure in terms of how the data is stored and all those pieces. And once somebody is set up, it's just a matter of getting them in front of, getting the organization in front of the profile and getting them completed. A lot of our trainers and distributors will train their clients. A lot of our clients are trained themselves on how to debrief the assessments, and they'll profile their entire organization and debrief them themselves. When it's used as part of the selection process, a lot of our clients will set up the profile, a link to the profile, a job link on their website, and so applicants can go online and complete the assessment.
Mm.
And the applicant then gets a 4-page candidate feedback report, and the manager gets a detailed report. And we really like that because, I mean, how many times have you gone out and applied for a job and entered in your information and it goes out into cyberspace and you have no idea
mm-hmm.
what's been done with the information? The candidate feedback report provided by our profiles provides the candidate with some information about what they should be seeking and avoiding in a career. It gives them a sense that the profile didn't do anything to hurt them. The manager then gets the detailed report that can be used as part of the selection process, and there'll be questions in there about what to ask in order to get a better sense of somebody's experience, how they're dealing with their core character traits, and it'll also give information about how somebody's motivated. It'll help the hiring manager identify some things that they should touch on in the interview. If the person is somebody that they want to select, it'll help them it'll pinpoint things that they should talk about in order to sell them on the position as well.
And so I think that this points to the fact that the assessment is just part of if you're using it as a selection tool, it's not like you would just use the assessment to make your final decision.
That's right. We look at it as one third of the process. You still need the non-negotiables. You know, if you need a truck driver and you're hiring a truck driver, well, you want that person to have a license.
So, right.
You know, you still need those non-negotiables, whether it's being able to speak Mandarin or whatever it is. And you still need that to have an interview. You still need to have that sort of gut feel. There still has to be a sense of connection with the individual. But the profiles, what they do is they produce some real science. So it puts people in a position where they can actually pull some science into their selection decision.
Mm.
And we also have a selection rater service where it's as a result of the profiles and what we know success looks like in a variety of different industries, we can provide questions to ask in the interview and a rating system so that when more than one manager, for example, is doing an interview, that there's some consistency across the board around the way the interview is being conducted and the way the results of the psychometric assessment are being plugged into the selection process. So pretty quickly we can get either an HR representative or a hiring manager or somebody in a hiring position to a point that they have science in their selection decision and they can know with a greater degree of confidence whether or not somebody is a green light, amber light, or a red light in
okay.
terms of hiring and selection decision.
Tell me some misconceptions about assessments and you know, working with so many people. And you've been doing, I mean, your company's been doing this for 25 years?
That's right. We've been here for 25 years.
25 years and 10,000 assessments a day.
That's right.
Okay.
Assessments and screens. We also provide a screening service so that what we don't want to see is people profiling when they're looking at selecting people and bringing them onto the team. We don't want people profiling people that may not be a fit for the organization. We want them profiling people who would be a good fit, and now they're in a position to select the best of the best. So we also have a inexpensive pre-screen that asks a lot of knockout questions so that the hiring manager can look at people who are actually qualified for the position, and they're not making investments in people that aren't qualified for the position.
So with all of these people that you're working with, you must come across some misconceptions about what these assessments will do and what they won't do. And having conversations with people saying, well, no, it doesn't work exactly like that. So, I mean, can you share any, like, typical misconceptions about assessments and how they are used in an organization or misused?
Well, a couple of thoughts come to mind, Tom. The profiles that we do, like I mentioned, they are predictive. What they don't do is they don't tell you how somebody is showing up. So it'll tell me whether or not you're highly enterprising or not. It'll tell me whether or not you're somebody who's likely to be a good prospector, somebody who's likely to, you know, knock on a lot of doors or not. It'll talk to me about, at your core, it'll talk to me about your call reluctance, your sensitivity to rejection, your closing style in sales. It'll tell me about your enterprising potential, your achievement potential, your independence potential, your comfort with conflict, your emotional intelligence. It'll tell me a lot about you. But it won't tell me how you're showing up. It just says at your core that this is, when push comes to shove, at your core, this is who you are.
When you say showing up, what do you mean?
Well, it won't tell me how you've learned to adapt to your core character traits in order to turn them into an advantage for you.
Mm-hmm.
It won't, you know, it might come across as that your emotional intelligence might be rated at one level, but if you've gone out and studied with somebody on how to read faces, then you've learned some skills that the profile isn't going to measure.
Mm.
So what it does is it looks at your core character traits. If there's an area that's a concern, it provides questions for the interviewer or the coach, developmental suggestions and questions, so that you can probe deeper to get a better sense of how the individual is showing up and what their behaviors look like.
Okay. So, I'd love for you to tell our listeners about a story, a big win, an example of, going into an organization that wasn't using assessments or wasn't using them appropriately or effectively, and then self-management group came in and you started to implement these and things turned around or changed and people were just, they saw what the difference was.
We see it all the time. We have lots of clients who've been with us for 25 years. And
really?
Once we're working with a client, we tend to really partner with them.
Mm.
I love my job. I feel like I won the lottery working here at Self Management Group. We're a self-managed staff. We don't have this sort of multi-tiered management system. Everybody on board is a self-manager. And we've seen it have tremendous impact with organizations. Time and time again, once we start working with the company, it just makes sense to use it. There's no downside, frankly. The people have a better sense of what people's individual strengths are. We believe that the most effective way to coach people is to start by focusing on strengths, helping them to become more aware of what they're good at so that they can do more of it. And we see it across the board. We constantly get testimonials in of people saying how this has changed their life, how it's impacted their organization, how it's made them a better parent, how it's made them a better manager, a better coach to their people, how it's gotten them to think about the way that they are either creating dependence with their people, the people that they're managing, or if it's helping their people to become more independent, more self-reliant, more resourceful, and more successful. So we see it all the time. We have the lowest margin of error in the business. Nobody's got a lower...
What does that mean, margin of error?
Well, you have type 1 and type 2 errors, right? So a type 1 error means that you were scrutinizing the people coming into your organization, maybe with a test, and you rejected people who would have been good.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we call a type 1 error. We don't want that. We want people in the organization who will be good.
Mm-hmm.
Type 2 error is when you select people who weren't good, who didn't pan out. And with we constantly go back in and validate our predictions. Every year we go back in and we into the organizations we've worked with, and when we said that people would perform, were we right? When I say that the profiles predict performance, one of the reasons we can say that is because we take a norm of people's responses, because there's a tool within the tool that measures how consistent somebody's being with their answers, so you can't fool it.
In other words, someone goes to take the assessment and they think that they're what's going through their mind is, here's what these people really want to know, so I'll put that in there.
That's right, and it's understandable too. I mean, it tells us a few things. It tells us maybe that they really want the position, so in some ways it could even be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an area in the test that looks at situational. You know, how are you responding today? Did the coffee you had take hold? Are you feeling like there's too much stress in your life right now? Did the daycare call and tell you that their doors were going to be closed today on the way to work, and you had to rearrange your entire schedule for you and your entire family? And is your life feeling pretty out of control today? Understandable. So we have an area in the test that's situational. That one can be fooled. That one it responds to how you're responding today. But at the core, when we look at the enterprising potential, independence potential, achievement potential, your investigative orientation, your people orientation, some of those key pieces, those can't be fooled. So there's a test within the test that measures your consistency. And when we go in and we do benchmarks, when we do validation studies, we can say with a large degree of certainty whether or not somebody will perform in a given role.
And you're so certain that you told me that these are legal, can be used in a legal environment.
That's right. The idea being that legally you can use these as part of the selection process, whereas when you're doing a type test, when
uh-huh.
you're finding out someone's type and how they respond, what their behaviors are, under one circumstance, you can't use that as part of the selection decision. So what we found actually, that in a court of law, you're actually better off having some science in your selection decision than you would be if you didn't. So if you choose not to hire somebody, in some ways you're better off.
Right, right.
With some of the banks that we've been working with and some of the larger organizations where we've been collecting data for a number of years, we can say with 100% certainty whether or not a given financial advisor will increase their portfolio by 100% over the next 2 years or not.
Wow. Well, that's impressive.
Well, so, it becomes an important tool for the growth
yeah.
of an organization, for the growth of a team. And when trainers use it, it's really helpful because all of the output in the profile lends itself to discussion, to facilitation. So we can quickly get somebody trained up on how to read this assessment. There's a summary of scales page, we call it page 13, on a quick glance you can get a sense of who somebody is. And when you're working with an organization or a team, it advances the team by, I would figure, a couple of years in terms of their understanding of one another.
So would you use it, would you go forward now and try to build a team without something like this?
Well, it would take a lot longer.
What do you mean by that?
Because you'll a couple of reasons. If there's conflict within the team,
uh-huh. Well, and every team has conflict.
And every good team has conflict. I think that the conflict. What happens? What I've seen happen before is when there's interpersonal conflict, when you just don't see eye to eye with somebody, when they get the profile in front of them, they put it on the table and they're both looking at it together. And we do that in a non-threatening, facilitated way where people are choosing to do that or not.
Mm-hmm.
And if they choose to share that information with one another, all of a sudden the personal conflict becomes about the assessment. It becomes about the paper in front of them. It becomes, oh, okay, you're over here and I'm over here. And it says here that you like your assignments well delineated. You like a lot of feedback. You like somebody to check in with you on a regular basis, whereas I don't like a lot of feedback, and I want you to give me the job, the overall specs of the job, check in with me once a month, and I'll get the job done.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we tend to manage each other, even in partnership relationships when we're both on the same team at the same level, or in a management direct report relationship, we tend to manage each other the way we like to be managed.
Oh, no question.
You know, I'll give you an example. My wife and I, the only time my wife and I fight is when we're driving together.
Okay.
And I'm sure I'm not unlike many other couples out there. And one of the challenges that we have when we drive together is my wife is very investigative. She's a marine biologist by training, and she's very scientific, very investigative. I'm much more likely to learn what I need to learn in order to get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're both in the parking lot and we're going to the airport and I say, okay, how do we get there? And she says, okay, well, turn right here and then make your first left and then make your next right. So I go and I drive out of the parking lot and I go to make my first left and make my next right and then left like she said. And she starts yelling at me, what are you doing? She meant when you turn the car on, turn left to go out of the parking lot and then turn right around those parked cars over there.
Right.
She's telling me how to get out of the parking lot. So I took the information that she gave me in terms of direction and apply it to my how I like information. So for both of us working on the profile, even in a couple situation, her and I have worked on this, when you get the information out in front of you, it is so such a relief to have a better understanding of how you each like your assignments, how you like information, how I need to be managed, how I need to partner with you in order for me to effectively perform, and vice versa.
I do some work with organizations and individuals around their personal mission statement, and I'm curious, in the work that you've done, have you ever got a sense of the percentage or the number of people who feel as though they're in the wrong place, that somehow they've ended up, you know, they take this assessment and their eyes have been opened, they go, oh, no wonder I feel like I'm in the wrong place.
Yeah, on occasion, but generally we find people end up where they should be.
Hmm.
It's a broad statement, but people, you know, life sort of directs you into what you're good at.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at the only true real motivation to do something is a sense of competence. It's a sense of doing it well. And people do more of what they do well. If you get that sense of reward and accomplishment, you tend to direct your energies towards what you're good at.
Mm-hmm.
So typically, we do see that on occasion, but what's more common is for people to get a sense of a better sense of what they're good at and a greater sense of self-confidence because of that. The more you know what you're good at, the more likely you are to have the self-confidence you need to approach your challenges as growth opportunities rather than as problems.
Mm. Well, I'd like you to share with our listeners what the next step could be, because they let's say that there's someone listening to this and they say, okay, I'm ready to take the next step and learn more about how to use this particular assessment with the group that they're working with, whether they have an existing team or they're building a team. I got a great email from someone the other day that said, I've just been identified as the new manager of a new department, and Tom, I get to hire whoever I want to hire. She's the first person in that division. What do I do? How do I start? And it seems like she would be a great candidate for this, to figure out what are the attributes and what are the qualities that are going to make that team high performing. And then as she starts to do her hiring, whether it's in-house or brand new people from the outside, she can use a tool like this. So what can she take a test?
Yes. Well, I'm really pleased about the opportunity to partner with you on this, Tom. You've been such a great resource to our field, and I've gotten so much out of your website and working with you. So your clients and trainers out there that are listening to this, people, VPs, HR folks, anybody in a position that's building a team, coaches, facilitators, if you're looking to use an assessment like this, there'll be a link beside this interview, beside whatever you clicked on to get to this interview. And from there, we'll send you to some preliminary screening questions, very brief, but just to make sure that we're sending you a link to the right assessment. And then you'll be put over to the assessment page, and you can get a complimentary evaluation code of an assessment that's appropriate for you. And then I'll follow up with you and debrief you on your results, and we'll take it from there.
And I took one of these assessments, and I got to say is that it was pretty spot on, and you and I discussed it and debriefed that tool. And it's always fun to learn more about yourself. At least it is for me. But I think the big part about this that I'm excited about is how to clearly use a tool like this to build a high-performing team. And again, it's part of the equation. And what I've come to realize is that if you're not using this, if you're not using a tool like this, like you said, it just takes more time. So if you're listening to this recording and you want to get there faster, more efficiently, with less headaches, with greater ease, this is, I believe, is going to be a great step for you. So, Jay, I think that we've had a number of conversations outside of this one, and I think that we're going to have future interviews about some of this stuff. We talked about a great equation for determining performance. I want to have a conversation around that at some point. And so I want to thank you for your time. How can people, if they need to reach you directly, and they take this assessment, it'll be clear for them as to how they can reach you.
That's right. Or they can go to the Self Management Group website, which is www.self-management.com.
Yes.
They can get a link to me on there, or contact any of the representatives here. Be happy to help you out. And it's good to be a part of this, Tom, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Very good. Well, this is Tom Heck with TeachMeTeamwork.com signing off, and we just spoke with Jay Kipps of the Self-Management Group. Make sure that you go to the assessment, click on that link that takes you to that will direct you to take the assessment that's appropriate for you and to help you build a high-performing team. Thanks again, Jay, for being on the call. This is Tom Heck with TeachMeTeamwork.com. Signing off.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.